On the JSE today, the All Share Index closed higher by 1.27%. Resources closing low, bucking the trend, down by 0.56%. FINI 15 closing just under 2% higher. Industrial 25 also 2% higher. Joining me now for the markets wrap is Warren Jeffrey from Nedbank Private Wealth. Welcome, nice to see you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the Rand.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, been on a bit of a roller coaster road ride over the last few weeks. Saw Rand moving up to 13.45 today. Mm. I think what we are starting to see is a bit of positivity coming in, and largely on the back of US markets. So Donald Trump basically tweeting or saying that he's not particularly happy with the US Fed. And the reason for that is the Fed hiking interest rates is not necessarily a good thing for US growth. And if you're a president who's come in and cut taxes, has a massive budget deficit, you don't want someone hurting your growth plans. So, but any time you get the US less likely to hike interest rates, that's generally going to be good for the Rand.
Okay, so there seem to be mixed views here, strong on either way. Mm. That is the dollar on a longer-term weaker trajectory or stronger, and obviously having impact on the Rand?
I think, you know, it is a challenge because the mixed views are also coming about from two different sides. And on the one hand, you've got the US Fed who's been talking a tough game and, you know, tightening monetary policy. Yeah. They were talking at the start of the year, five interest rate hikes. You know, we've had two, likelihood is they'll probably see another one this year. But you've got that hard line, which would result in a stronger US dollar. But then you've also got Donald Trump, who's driving growth, doesn't want interest rate hikes, doesn't want the dollar too strong against Europe or Asia and becoming uncompetitive. So you've almost got two halves here. And depending which story you happen to be listening to at the time, that's pretty much the bias.
Volatility, the story of the day.
Absolutely.
Okay, trading update out of Sasol today, saying that HEPS will be quite sharply lower, the stock 1% higher.
So stock 1% higher. I think, you know, part of that is as a result of the market looking forward. So although the, you know, HEPS is coming out lower than what was expected, I think what we are seeing is your EBITDA is coming out in line with what was expected. So they, you know, they've got about 16 billion of depreciation items in those numbers, which is not a direct impact on the cash flow of the business and the viability of the business. I think, you know, to Sasol's favor, the recent oil price has obviously been helping them. We saw them under a bit of pressure with the stronger rand earlier in the year. But as the rand's been trending higher, the actual rand per barrel oil price is working in their favor. So I think going forward, it's probably a positive outlook for them. They also announced in their update, their Louisiana plant is online in terms of timeline and in line with the budget. And that also starts to introduce that chemical side of the business to them, which should be good.
So quite a few trading updates out today. So Truworths, despite a weaker trading update, that stock up about 4%.
Yeah, and when that announcement came out, I mean, straight away the share actually went to 2% negative and then a few minutes later shot up to positive territory again. And as you read through that update, it's a bit of a mixed bag of news. So definitely retail sales under pressure. On the plus side for them, though, they haven't lost ground in terms of the actual earnings. And that's generally a sign that management are able to contain costs. So that's positive. On the back of it as well, though, what we are seeing is the actual account numbers are going up. Now, bearing in mind, Truworths is doing about 70% of their sales on card. So, you know, potentially from a relaxing of National Credit Act policy, you are starting to see some card or account openings going forward there. So that's progress and probably could boost earnings down the line.
Anything new on Steinhoff? It was down by 9%.
So down by 9%, I think probably a bit of a hangover from yesterday. Yesterday I saw the stock up, you know, close to 17%, basically on the back of creditors agreeing that they're willing to push out the time frame, what they're calling a lock in terms of your debt lock. And essentially, the agreement to push that out by 3 years means Steinhoff's got a little bit of wiggle room before they have to start coughing up funds. It's not all finalized yet. They still have to basically put the structure in place over the next 3 months. The reason why we're probably seeing some selling now, I think you had a bit of profit taking today. Some guys who are buying that share at one rand, you've almost tripled your money. So,
okay, true. So before we went to areas, you're saying that there were two big themes in the global markets. What are they and how does the average investor play them?
So I think, you know, the two big themes are, unfortunately, they're bigger than our market right now. And that is your US interest rates, which we've touched on a little bit earlier, and your trade wars. And, you know, maybe starting with the US interest rates, it's actually quite a simple equation. For years, you know, investors have got zero reward for sitting in cash.
Yeah.
Negative rates in America, in Europe, in Japan. Now, all of a sudden, you can start making a real return. You know, you basically get close to 1% real return in US dollars. So the question is being asked, why take risk on emerging markets? Why take risk on equity when you can actually go into cash? So we are starting to see some of that flow. We saw it strongly in the, you know, between March and now. And that's very much a sentiment drive. And as we're seeing this tussle between your Donald Trump and no rate hike and the US Fed talking potential rate hike, as we're seeing the seesaw motion, we're seeing that cash flow ebbing and flowing around the world. And then just in terms of the trade wars, the challenge that you've got there is, on the one hand, you've got America wanting to basically put duties in place to support local and domestic production, which is good for your economy initially. The danger with that, though, is you end up actually inflating prices in your local market. And that means the likelihood is you're going to then see interest rates coming up to protect against inflation, and you risk squashing growth. So if that gets too aggressive, I think we could see some pressure in global markets.
Okay, finally, your stock pick, little beer company.
Yep. So I like Anheuser-Busch at the moment. I think, you know, it's got fantastic geographic diversification. It's got a yield of about 4.1%. And you've got a nice rand hedge counter put in place there. It's relatively non-cyclical. So if you're looking for a way to weather a storm, it's a good place to be.
Always in beer.
Yep.
Okay, Warren, thank you so much.
You.
That was Warren Jeffrey from Nedbank Private Wealth. Your stock pick, little beer company.
Yep. So I like Anheuser-Busch at the moment. I think, you know, it's got fantastic geographic diversification. It's got a yield of about 4.1%. And you've got a nice rand hedge counter put in place there. It's relatively non-cyclical. So if you're looking for a way to weather a storm, it's a good place to be.
Always in beer.
Yep.
Okay, Warren, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
That was Warren Jeffrey from Nedbank Private Wealth.